Jim Madison's latest book begins with a mystery. The mystery presented itself during Madison's second visit to the American cemetery in Normandy, France. Madison was walking among the grave markers when he came upon one for Elizabeth A. Richardson of Indiana.
And I said, "What's a woman doing here? Why, among 9,387 Americans, is there a woman? What did she do to deserve a place at this really sacred site?"
Madison tracked down the woman's family and made the kind of discovery that historians dream about. He learned that Elizabeth Richardson had recorded her wartime experiences in letters, diary entries, illustrations, and paintings, and that her brother Charles had saved everything. The materials form the core of Madison's latest book, Slinging Donuts for the Boys, An American Woman in World War II.
Yes, women are working at the job of winning the war far from home.
In 1944, Liz Richardson volunteered for the American Red Cross. She sailed on the Queen Elizabeth to England, where she was put to work on a Red Cross clubmobile. The clubmobiles were traveling social clubs that visited soldiers at base camps and airstrips. Their purpose was to boost morale.
These American men overseas in World War II were very, very young. They were late teens, early 20s, 3,000 plus miles away from home. So the clubmobile pulls up at one of these isolated bases, often tent camps, somewhere in rural England. And soon, there's a phonograph record playing Glenn Miller. Soon, there's the smell of coffee being brewed. But the most important thing in that clubmobile are three American women, always called girls. And they pop out wearing lipstick. They always wore lipstick, always had a smile on their face. And they pop out with a cheery word, a greeting, "Hi, soldier, where are you from?" They know how to banter. They know how to talk about the Brooklyn Dodgers. They know how to talk about Glenn Miller. They know how to wisecrack to make jokes. They know how to jitterbug. Often they're jitterbugging with guys in front of the clubmobile. These are what American men think of, above all, as home.
One of Liz's jobs was to mix the donut batter by hand. Her hands became raw and chapped, and the smell of the donuts clung to her hair and clothing.
The donuts smelled great and they tasted great the first time you ate one. And for an American guy who's been away from home for months and even years and hasn't tasted a donut in all that time, to taste a real American donut freshly made was a great treat and thrill. But Liz Richardson and the other women she worked with in the Red Cross made tens of thousands of donuts and came to detest the taste and the smell. In one letter, she called them greasy, repulsive things.
In a letter to her parents, Charles and Henrietta, Liz wrote,
"We start out at about 6 in the morning, making donuts at camp with 10 million GIs watching the operation. Then we turn on our phonograph and serve, all the time smiling like mad and dividing our time between donuts, the mess sergeant, the coffee, and the sea of faces." You feel sort of like a museum piece. "Hey, look, fellas, a real live American girl!" If you have a club foot, buck teeth, and crossed eyes, you can still be Miss Popularity. The main thing is that you're female and speak English. It's certain that all of us will have more than a workable knowledge of the ways of men. "Men, men, men," one of my co-workers was heard to exclaim the other night. "I hope I never see another." A rather vain hope, as she no doubt knew.
When she wasn't slinging donuts from the clubmobile, Liz helped keep up morale in quieter ways. She listened to the soldiers, and they opened up to her.
She got to know these guys. She got to know a large number of them very, very well. Not just serving coffee and donuts, but hanging out in pubs, at dances, at social functions, and just talking. And these young men told her things, I'm convinced, that they would not have told their mother or their wives or their girlfriends, told her things they probably didn't even tell their best friends, about what it was like to have been in France in the summer of 1944 fighting the Germans.
"I'm used to the men going over every minute of their time on the line. Oh, if you only knew what combat does to these boys. Not in the physical sense, although that's bad enough, but mentally. It's made me a wiser and sadder creature. The latter, in itself, a sign of wisdom.
Liz called herself an eternal optimist, but that didn't prevent her from getting homesick. The day after Thanksgiving of 1944, Liz wrote to her parents and her brother Butch,
"I thought of all of you yesterday as I ate my Thanksgiving dinner out of my mess kit. It seemed strange to be sitting there surrounded by those boys, each with their different memories in an alien land. The holidays are bad for the morale."
In spite of the hardships, Liz never regretted signing up for the Red Cross.
"I consider myself very fortunate to be in Club Mobile. I can't conceive of anything else. It's a rugged and irregular and weird life, but it's wonderful."
Liz had had a boyfriend back in Indiana, but she had never been in love. In France, Liz fell passionately in love with a lieutenant named Frank Policastro.
It was a very, very interesting and important relationship. They had their ups and downs, complicated immensely by the fact of war.
"Dear Frank, what will I do the day that the Red Cross or cruel circumstance tears me from you? I know it's coming, but I'd just as soon not face it. I wish I could love you in a sort of calm, disinterested way."
Frank Policastro wanted to marry Liz, but she was wary of wartime romances.
It was a terrible time to fall in love, and she was determined that while she admitted to Frank and to others that she was in love with him, that she was not going to get married.
"Dear Mother and Daddy, after much discussion last night, Frank and I have decided to go our separate ways. I do not want to be married over here, nor do I think our marriage would be a success for very long, even under normal circumstances."
In 1945, Liz hitched a ride on a two-seater military plane bound for Paris. The pilot was an experienced airman, but when they hit fog near Rouen, he lowered the plane to orient himself, and they crashed into a hillside. Both he and Liz died instantly. Liz Richardson was 27 years old. A Red Cross colleague wrote in a letter of condolence to Liz's parents, "Her sense of humor was the keynote to our daily living, even when we were past tiredness." In 2007, six of Liz's fellow Red Cross workers met at the American Cemetery in Normandy, where they paid tribute to Liz and put flowers on her grave. One woman told Jim Madison, "She was somebody to look up to, a true blue person." It's no longer a mystery to Madison why an American Red Cross worker named Elizabeth Richardson is buried at the American Cemetery in Normandy. He is of the opinion offered by Liz's alma mater in 1945. At that time, the Downer College Alumni magazine wrote, "As surely as men gave their lives for their country, so did she." Slinging Donuts for the Boys, An American Woman in World War II by Jim Madison is published by Indiana University Press. Elizabeth Richardson's letters and diary entries were read by Julia Coffey. For WFIU's Artworks, I'm Adam Schwartz.